The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Start talking.
Oh, I was just dreaming about that Green Bay game today at
and how you wish you could be sitting in the stands.
I got shivers down my back. Boy, that'd be a good one to go sit in the stands and watch, wouldn't it?
I think it's the forecast is for 2 below 0 with the wind chill making it feel like 40 below or something like that.
Oh, lovely. But the turf is heated, so it won't be bad.
Well, you know, if you were the cleanup guy, though, that'd be kind of great because nobody'd be loitering around after, you know. People go to the game probably and they, I don't know, after you sat there all that time, maybe you do loiter.
Yeah, I don't know. What do frozen hot dogs taste like, though?
Yeah, exactly.
Passing out free coffee and hot chocolate to the fans that actually show up.
Wouldn't that be just wild? God. But, you know, I mean, I don't know. I grew up in the snow, and when you live in the cold, you kind of, I don't know, cold's cold.
And the Niners finished with a much better record than Green Bay, but Green Bay got the home field because Green Bay won their division, and the Niners are a wild card. They may want to look at changing that rule, because you could make a case for the Niners should have that they should have had a home field advantage today, but those are the rules.
They're going to learn about coldness.
Yeah, they're definitely going to learn about coldness. That's just crazy cold.
So, now that, our first hour, you're joining We the People Radio, just so we kind of close that loop there. If you would like to call us, the number is 530-605-4567. Everything you want to know about the program is actually online, thanks to Robert Exter, who puts up a terrific page. He just absolutely laid things out great today, too. We have two different guests today. So the first hour, we were talking to Dr. Lawrence McQuillan about the topic of smart growth and who pays for it. You, by the way, is the answer to that, the short answer. So if you'd like to learn more about that, listen to the archive here that'll be up shortly. This second hour, we're joining Anthony Silveria down in the Bay Area. It's funny, we were just talking about the Bay Area. Anthony down there, he has worked at the Oakland VA. I'm not going to give you his whole resume because it's long, but it is online, so I think you should go look at it. I'm just going to give you the highlights that I thought were highlights. I get to pick my own highlights. He is a former Marine, military police, disabled veteran, and he is an employee of the Oakland VA that was removed from employment by the director for reporting harassment, discrimination based on disability, increased surveillance, and a hostile work environment.
Oh, that can't be true. All that?
Yeah.
In one place?
Yeah, and you know, and they're processing record number of claims down there. Oh, no, wait. No, they're not. He has filed under the Whistleblower Act and the No Fear Act for not protecting disabled veterans from harassment. And just some of his, he was in the Marine Corps from 1990 to 1999. He was military police in K-9 with military working dogs. He was Special Weapons Assault Team, Accident Investigator, Department of Defense, and an instructor and manager of the Military Working Dog Kennels. Received a Joint Service Commendation Medal, Navy and Marine Corps Commendation Medals, whole bunch of other recognitions that I won't actually read here. He's Marine of the Year. I mean, this totally sounds like a guy who's going to be a problem employee, I guess is my point in including this. He provided personal protection for the Presidents of the United States, President Bush Sr., President Clinton, Vice President Gore, and other foreign and domestic dignitaries. not actually in the resume. I just threw that in.
I heard that.
Yeah, the was just free. He had first place overall top dog in the military working dogs there. He was a top honor graduate in the Sergeant's Leadership Course. He was stationed in Hawaii. Kind of fun on Oahu there. And lots of awards with the Department of Veterans Affairs for performance. And God knows we could use some people getting awards for performance in Oakland.
Well, he had
for like real performance.
Get an award for working more than 5 minutes in that place.
Yeah, there's that too. That'll be the award we'll give him.
Yeah.
So, anyway, things have gone south, I guess we'll say, for Tony. And so even though he was out on medical disability, they felt the need to fire him, which of course doesn't work out. But he's willing to speak out on all these issues that are going on in Oakland. I'm sure it's not the only Veterans Administration office that's having problems, but it is, wherever you live in the country, it's bottom rung on the ladder or bottom two, and has been for a very long time. His window into what's going on there gives us a good idea of why the performance is so low and why the output is the way it is. And just on a local note, we had another veteran waiting for benefits, Vietnam-era veteran, amputee, who pushed himself in front of a train a couple nights ago. Had made comments to other veterans in the local area, which is how I found out about it. He said that, you know, Sarge decided not to wait anymore for his benefits. Repeatedly denied, had the big sores from Agent Orange exposure, and yet the Oakland VA continued to deny him. So, that was kind of a long lead in there. But do we have Tony in the?
Well, I want to thank Tony for speaking out. I mean, we need a lot more people to speak out on this. It's so out of control down there, and people are scared to death that they're going to be on the street if they open their mouth. So thank you very much, Tony.
No problem. I've been trying to work the internal channels for a couple of years, and it's not working out. OIG, I can give you all kinds of acronyms, but you can look them up on the website.
Yeah, so the Office of Inspector General, we always have to kind of assume that people people might not speak government. So we're not going to, you know, drill out all the acronyms the whole show, but at the beginning of each one, we'll try not to speak in code. Yeah, so what do you think, Tony? At the end of the day, what's the percentage of veterans that actually work in the Oakland VA ballpark?
Oh, I know we have a lot less now. I'm assuming it's less than 40%, easy, maybe 30%.
Okay. And in management, what's our veteran population?
There is one person that was in Vietnam era for 2 or 3 years, and he was an assistant coach. And then the other person is my current supervisor, who he was in the reserves for a while as a Mustang officer, but he doesn't seem like he's ever been in the military.
And so as far as, like, the director and all those folks, zip military experience.
He said he was in the Navy, but I've never seen any kind of code of ethics from him, like, any type, integrity, any of that.
Huh. Yeah, and that kind of counts. Should count. So you worked at the VA, I think you told me 2009 you went to work there?
Yeah, I actually went out on disability for another organization, a civilian organization, and then got released, and I didn't know I can pursue the claim. I got picked up on voc rehab, and then voc rehab, vocational rehabilitation, they allowed me to apply for a position at the VA in 2009, and I applied as a claims assistant, which is where you start processing mail, and you get a lot of work. I mean, gosh, all kinds of stuff. As a claims assistant, you're the first part of the processing.
Okay, and you're a disabled veteran, so
no, you're 100%. I got several surgeries and a lot of different conditions that have been exacerbated by the Oakland Regional Office.
Imagine that little stress on the job causing some problems there.
Mainly, it's undue stress. Like you were speaking about, I was in law enforcement. I never had problems with stress until you get to a place where you're helpless and nobody's coming out, nothing's happening the way it's supposed to. They're not following the laws, rules, and regulations when you provide them to them, and then you want to speak about it. I've requested what we call ADR, Alternative Dispute Resolution, with Douglas Bragg and a bunch of other managers there at the office, and I've been ignored. Not denied, just ignored. And there's supposed to be a VA Form 0889 provided to somebody when they are denied ADR. And I've asked for that since September 2012, and I still haven't had it.
Wow.
The rules don't apply. That's
yeah, so who cares, huh?
That's their MO down there.
When you first went there, just out of curiosity, because, you know, how we've all had different jobs, right? And some of them started out good and ended bad and vice versa. When so I don't mean to presume. When you first went there, what was your impression?
Well, actually, I got to tell you, I went there and I wanted to apply to the VA. Several times I tried for a VSR position, but I got passed over.
And that is a what? What's a VSR?
A veteran service representative. It's the person that does the developing on claims and stuff like that. You have to usually have a bachelor's degree and some type of GPA. I met all the requirements for it, but I just kept getting passed over until I got that vocational rehabilitation preference. But I wanted to work at the VA because since I got out in 99, my claim has been royally screwed up at the Oakland Regional Office, Reno Office, Phoenix Office, so bad that I had to actually work at the VA to understand where the problems were. I never understood how bad it was until I got there, and I just realized it's so much common sense, but they don't, like, I think somebody said the rules don't apply. You see that sometimes, you're like, how does it not apply? It's a law. U.S. Code, Code of Federal Regulation, come on now.
Yeah. And so when, because I've spoken to other people there, and so when they break the rules, if you bring it up, you wind up cleaning toilets in Martinez.
It gets even worse than that, because if you don't stop talking, then there's other things. They just keep coming after you. I had supervisors follow me around. They'd interrupt me in my conversations, tell me I have to get back to work. Even if it's like a minute, a professional conversation, you got to stop talking, get back to work. And then there would be, I got followed around, told I couldn't go on break. I had third-party witnesses come forward for the EEO investigation and explain this. I brought this up to my supervisor. My doctor said, unquestionably related to hostile work environment. Brought that to him, too. They ignored it. They didn't want to talk about it.
And so there are investigations pending, and you're going to have to decipher that for folks.
Well, the EEO investigation has been pending for, I've signed two extensions, and I'm still waiting for the administrative judge to go over 2,000 pages of investigative notes. But I'm not going to go into detail because of confidentiality and whatnot, but seriously, 2,000 pages of investigative notes, over 20 witnesses, unbelievable.
And that's not enough to make a case.
And that's equal, that's, yeah, and an EEO investigation involves, is that state, is it federal?
Everything that you named off, the discrimination based on disabilities, what started it. I reported it more than once. I dropped it with the first claim in June 2012 after that June 2012 training we had to go to. And then I just let it go because the people started following me around and my job started getting really bad. And at that time, that was the last exceptional performance award I ever got. And then at that point, they just started coming after me, following me around, making my life worse. My disabilities got so bad I couldn't even function at work. My doctor pulled me off of work. They denied my workman's comp claim. They wouldn't pay me while I was out. I had a fight to get the money back. When I finally got the money back, the Department of Labor still has claims pending. They started recouping money. They recouped like several months. I had to get a judge involved to stop the recoupment. It's unbelievable. It's not efficiency of service at all. It's actually the exact opposite.
And you see the same stuff with veterans' claims.
Well, the thing is that when you have all your employees trying to tell the managers you're doing the wrong thing, you're not following the laws, rules, and regulations, they should be working claims. The managers should know these things. They should know that these things are entitlements and rights of the employees. Why are you harassing your employees? You want them to be working. You want them to be happy. You want to increase morale, not decrease it by telling them or bullying them around. Like when I got escorted out, they didn't have to escort me out for AWOL. What they could have done is said, all right, you can go to your union rep like I requested, but they wanted to walk them through the office to intimidate everybody. They even say it in my release, in my evidence file, that they wanted to make sure this doesn't happen again. Really?
And that was because you were out on disability, but they claimed, let's connect that back for people.
Oh, I'll connect the dots for you. I went out on FMLA again because...
Wait, go back. You just lost us again. The FMLA.
Sorry. Workman's compensation, I was out in December of 2012 and beginning of January. All that stuff happened, I explained earlier, but then my disabilities got better and I was able to go back to work, and my financial reasons, I had to go back to work. But when it came back to like June and July, they were writing me up, giving me admonishments, not allowing me to get anything. They were writing me counseling statements, just pretty much setting me up to fire me, and they got really bad. My doctor pulled me off work again, put me on FMLA, which is Federal Medical Leave Act, or Family Medical Leave Act. While I was out, I received over 20 letters. I was suspended for 3 days by the director, proposed suspensions. They told me that I had a return to work order. Well, I was out for my doctor's orders, even though I needed medical convalescence, I had to come back into work and request permission on some special form for me to be out sick.
Wow.
I feel bad if somebody's in the hospital, you know, I'm trying to get them in.
Yeah, you're in a car accident or something.
Wheel the gurney up the elevator.
Yeah,
there.
We're sorry, but you can't do that from here.
Oh, but I do got to say, I've heard the management going to, somebody had an anxiety breakdown, and they went to the hospital to get them to sign the form.
You're kidding.
No, actually, I'm not.
And you guys are actually a union deal, which usually is a bad thing, but in your case, it seems like it's a good thing, but they're not actually helping.
No, because the union, I guess, the people that are in there and the president and stuff like that, they worked with Mr. Bragg before when he was at the Oakland Regional Office as a VSR. So they have some history. And everything I've tried to do, I was met with negative results as far as the union. They didn't want to represent me at some point, which is, of course, failure to duty representation. So I reported that stuff to the Federal Labor Relations Authority for all of these kind of charges, and that's still pending investigation over a year. But other things are starting to come out, about finances and things I can't talk about, but the Department of Labor has taken on a huge investigation, several investigations, which are still pending. But, again, I get no whistleblower protection or no fear.
Isn't the president of that union under investigation for some type of embezzlement at this time?
That's where it all stems. Yeah, that's where it all stems. Yeah, the gossip is there's some embezzlement going on. They're not managing funds correctly. They're not reporting statements properly. And there's a lot of stuff that's there that I don't even know about. It's just things that I've heard. But whenever the investigative report comes out, I'd be curious.
Yeah, no kidding. Hold that thought. We better put our break in here. We'll have them all at the same time. We'll have one non-ending advertisement. So we've got to thank our advertisers. You are joining us here at WeThePeopleRadio.us. Lots of information online at the webpage there. Listening to KCNR 1460 AM.
Definitely fight the powers that be. Oakland is so out of hand down there. I guess a little more privileged than most. I get to hear a little bit more of the inside stuff that goes on down there, and it blows my mind to hear some of the stories that go on in that place. It's
you should try living it. It's pretty crazy. It's like being Alice in Wonderland. You know things are one way, but then when you go to work, it's a total different way. And yeah. I feel bad for the employees working. Yeah, they have some amazing employees, but wow, Alice in Wonderland all the way.
Yeah, and the thing is they don't even try to hide it. It's right out in the open for people to look at.
They can do what they want. They already said they can do what they want. Well, delineate the rules how they want.
It's intimidation in the first degree down there.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable.
And then the product, this is the part that blows me away. It's one thing if, because most of the time when you hear about this kind of thing, everybody thinks that they're doing a great job. And people are going, oh, that couldn't be happening. But amazingly enough, they are at the bottom or next to the bottom of all 58. Just to kind of explain this, we had some confusion in the chat room, and I realized I didn't do a very good job at the beginning of explaining what we're talking about. There are 58 regional offices. So you hear them called VARO, Veterans Association Regional Offices. There are 58 of them across the country, and they are not the hospitals. They don't do all that stuff. It is literally the federal regional office that approves benefits. So when it might be a Vietnam-era veteran who's applying now for benefits for things that happened, or it might be somebody who served in Desert Storm. All different veterans of different eras apply. And then there are cases like some of them that are 35, 38, 39 years old, people who applied for benefits and have been repeatedly stalled, claim lost, claim denied, dragged on, blah, blah, blah. That stuff happens for the folks in Northern California and actually Central California, too. The only other offices in California are in San Diego and L.A. So everybody else is processed out of Oakland. So, you know, most people think that everybody down there is making a bunch of big money and being irresponsible. But what we're learning is there are a lot of good people trying to do their jobs who are being prevented. So kind of
trying to do the right thing. They're
kind of put that back in perspective.
Every time they report to, absolutely, great employees down there. And, in fact, that's why we went to that June training in 2012. We were forced to go away from our work. We closed down the Oakland Regional Office. You could pull up all the news reports on that. And it was unsatisfactory. 10-hour days, not getting compensated, bused over to San Francisco. And the training was, it was good to a point, but when we got back, everything went back to the way it was. So nothing really mattered. We were forced to do that for a show of political, hey, we'll take care of it. But it did nothing for us. It hurt us.
So how many times have you seen claims that went through that you developed? Because as you moved up in the office, you started out, you know, processing the stuff right out of the mailroom, and then you went to, you were a rater, correct?
Well, I went from claims assistant when I got hired. I was like a GS-6, really low pay position. But they get a lot of responsibility, and they're not thanks. But a lot of those, that's where we pick up our disabled veterans first. And then we see where they're at, or they see where they're at. Anyways, I met other qualifications for the veteran service representative, and a couple positions came open, so a couple of us applied. We got the position. We were able to advance. Other people were passed over for other reasons, external hiring and stuff, but I was able to go from a veteran service representative after that for 7-8 months in triage, the mailroom area, to a rating veteran service representative because I have a legal background and also an English major. So I was able to transfer over to that. Plus, I've been working my own claim for the last 20 years. Go figure.
So you had to go to work at the VA to process your own claim.
I swear to you, and every veteran right now out there will tell you, we don't know what benefits are out there, how to apply for them, until somebody tells us, because they're it's so cluttered, so convoluted. It should be so much more simple. And when we go to school, it's so simple. But when we get back, they make it so convoluted again. And it's sad. It's sad. Claims are being held up. Things aren't being processed right. And you know what? If they don't get it right, the veterans always got an appeal process. I've been through the appeal process for the last 6 years. I'm up the U.S. Court of Appeals for my own claim right now. It is unsatisfactory. We should get it right the first time. Get it right the first time.
And how many times have you seen a claim that you developed, you knew all the evidence, it went all the way through, and it leaves your desk, and it goes through a decision review process, and then, you know, it continues on. How many times have you seen those claims come back?
I've seen them a lot, and it's sad because you see the person, and you look at it, and you're like, no way, this person's going to come back because of X, Y, and Z. We need to get certain evidence. Call the veteran. Sometimes we can't get a hold of veterans. I get that, but why can't we delay the claim another month or two and try to get a hold of the veteran or try to find another address or something or get a hold of them at the hospital? Because most of them, if they're being seen regularly, they're going to be seen at the hospital within a month. Put a note in there. Tell them we got to talk to them. Tell them we need something, and then process the claim. But why process it knowing that they're going to have to come back and appeal it and drag us through the whole thing again? Because that's going to slow down our production again, because now we're working a claim that we should have got right the first time. The veterans have the money. They have to appeal it. And if they don't get it in a certain time, then they're going to be penalized. It's sad. Sad.
Well, and then how many of them go through that actually have all the evidence? Everything's there. You're like, okay, this one's ready to go. And then all of a sudden, months later, it shows up again as a new claim.
Well, let me explain something to you. And there's something that they do is brokering, and it's sad. They can broker and help us out, but they choose to broker and hurt us as a station, I guess. Because what happens is you get claims, and they get orders from wherever, central office, western area, whoever, and they tell them to broker a certain amount of claims. Well, instead of picking new claims that haven't been worked and employees aren't relying on for the production or things we've already been working or actively working, they go after our claims. They pull those claims out, even though we're almost done. I've had claims that I've rated and were ready for decision, ready to award the person. They deleted my information and sent out to another station so they can get their brokering numbers. Now, that delays the claim, not months, 2 months, 3 months. It depends on when that brokering station can look at that claim again. That's unsatisfactory. That claim could have been done if they would have just mentored and reviewed it, vice brokering it out. And it still happened. Last week, I was complaining about this.
Wow. And so how disheartening. I mean, you're actually trying to do your job. Meanwhile, everything that you hear in the media, and kind of we haven't actually been helping that, is Oakland sucks, and they're doing a terrible job, and these guys are idiots. The veterans are all upset. You get phone calls. And
from April 2012, we were getting bashed as employees, and that's where the management was kind of honest. Even executive management, which is sad, telling us the employees are incompetent, they don't know they're trained. Well, guess what? We're not getting properly trained. And when we tell them we need training and additional training, I've got emails among emails for the last 2 years from the time I got back from rating veteran service representative school for 12 weeks in Seattle, stating there's deficiencies in my training, and other people have too, and they still haven't been filled. We ask questions at the trainings, and they put them in a question parking lot. Well, that question parking lot's turned into a question garage, and we still haven't got the answers for those things that are affecting each claim we work every day. It's not prompt. We don't get responses like we're supposed to. And then we're trying to make decisions based on the information we have. And when we try to go ask questions, I've been stopped. I'm trying to ask questions of people that are more knowledgeable than me so I can get the answers so I can get the claim done. Why? Because I need to request permission to go get that question answered. Are you kidding me?
I've been told that it's sort of a divide-and-conquer setup, you know, where everybody is kept a little bit in the dark from everybody else, and so once a claim leaves your desk, even if you feel like it's on track and off it goes, sometimes a year later it'll come back through again, missing all of its evidence, and it's right back to square one.
Yeah, there's times that we've seen that, and there's times that some of us veterans have, and even civilians, there's some really good civilians that have worked there. I don't want to forget them. But there's some good veterans and civilians that are working there that will take that claim, and they'll take ownership, and they'll try to get that claim all the way through, especially when we see hardship or financial problems. We really don't care what the management tells us, and that's what's getting us in trouble, because we want to do what's right. I don't care about their numbers. I don't care about their bonuses they're going to get for us not getting our claims done. I want to make sure that we do what's right for the veterans. And some of us, there's a lot of other people there that will just say nothing to management and do what's right for the veterans and get in trouble later on.
Yeah, and that's awesome because they're... Okay, now, just, you know, I think we all sort of know the answer, but we don't know the official answer. What exactly is the mission of the Oakland Regional Office, these regional offices? What is their, in a perfect world, if they were to set up a parade for the regional offices of the VA, what is it they do?
Well, what they should be doing is providing services and benefits to veterans, and every time we provide, like, a discrepancy or a concern, they're supposed to be making decisions based on the efficiency of service, helping more veterans, helping veterans process claims correctly the right the first time. They have this thing called ICARE, I-C-A-R-E. You guys can look it up. Integrity, compassion, advocacy, respect. I can't remember the E because I never get to that part. They don't even have the first part.
Can the word imaginary start with E? No, I guess not.
No.
I was thinking Alice.
Alice in Wonderland. I know. I was like, E.
Blows me away. I was in the Marine Corps, and it didn't happen this way. And some of the civilians tried to give a point of reference, like, this is how it is in the military. And I look at them like, really? You were never in the military? I was in the Marine Corps, active duty 9 years. Every day I woke up, I lived Marine Corps. This is not how it was. We don't treat our Marines like this.
Well, you can't treat citizens like this. I mean, it's different. You know, you got the NSA out there spying on everybody, and that's fine if you're, you know, in another country. I mean, I think they do have a job to do to keep apprised of what's going on, but you can't do that to U.S. citizens. We have rights, and they just look the other way. They don't even care. There's nothing's being done about it.
Like a constitution. There's a constitution. I thought.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah, that always really gets us, muddies
that
the water
always
there.
Gets us into
Don't
deep,
even
deep
bring
water.
That up.
I had a pointless conversation with a guy from Berkeley the other day who called me who wanted to explain to me we needed to update it. It's like, okay, I'm going to hang up now because I'm not going to live forever and I can't waste any more time with you. So yeah, we're not tolerant of that shifting sand constitution here. So Tony, at the end of the day, if you were going to wave a magic wand, because, you know, I always like to go for the realistic solution. So if you were going to wave a magic wand on this thing and you were going to fix it and get the claims adjudicated properly so our veterans were getting the proper benefits and stop being homeless and you know, all that jazz, what would you do? What would be the first thing you would do?
Be more of an advocate. Like I said, a lot of veterans don't know what's going on. Have them come down to the VA. Have them come down to the federal office. Go out there and meet them at the vet centers. Have people in place to where they can not only take claims, but answer questions and be able to answer them exactly what the veteran needs. So we can get those claims processed. Take the statement. Get it going. Stop delaying the claims. As soon as we can get that off the books and we get it the right way, we won't see it again. The veteran's going to be taken care of. They're going to be taken care of if something else happens. I mean, God forbid.
So what fixes
that? What, first.
What fixes that in Oakland? If you were going to, if you were in charge of Oakland,
have people come down there and have talks and talk to them. Have them come in. What's your problem? Walk-ins. Do like once a month. Have a bunch of staff committed to taking in walk-ins all of a sudden, and have them tell them, come in, walk in. We'll talk to you. We'll explain what's going on. What you're missing. What you need. What we got to do to get this done.
Well, the bottom line on these claims, I mean, let's face it, they're just not that complicated.
Kind of complicated.
Well, some of them are a little bit complicated, but either you were or you weren't injured in the line of duty, and if you were, let's get this thing rolling, because, I mean, we owe that to the veterans. It's
absolutely
not. Why make this
a, but answer the question.
There's no reason why it takes years and years to process a claim. I mean, well, that's just wrong.
Tell me this, Tony. Well, you were developing claims, because we hear this all the time. I mean, like that fire in St. Louis that supposedly destroyed records. Well, that fire was really intermittent, and it seems to have affected things over a really wide period of time.
Yeah, what happened is there's a certain portion of the records that were destroyed. There's an alphabetical, there's a list, actually, you can find out online from the, I can't remember the manual reference right now, but it's the M21 is what we call it. I'll have to give you the reference for that one for online. But what you do is there's stuff that you have to get, and there's requirements to justify us using a fire records development clause. And there's different things you have to do to develop for that, to answer the questions, to try to draw that link. Like the other gentleman was saying, you know, we got to get the in-service event, current condition that's going on, disability, and we have to get a nexus, which is a medical thing. Those three things, and we're good. But the problem is, a lot of times we don't have the evidence that we need because there's a delay in release, or, you know, right now there's such a huge backlog. There's so many claims going on. It's so disorganized. They don't know what claims are working. We're working earlier ones. We're working later ones. There's not a real set way to get out of this. And I know central office is doing the best they can, but they should be managing the individual regional offices. The individual regional offices should be managing them based on our workload and the people that they have, because when you're San Francisco 49ers, you're not run by the main office guy, you're run by the coach, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, I think a lot of that workload is created by them. I mean, when you have to run a claim through 15 times, you know, get
exactly.
it approved.
And then we're stuck in appeals, and then you're pulling your people off the floor.
And you have the same people looking at the same claims over and over and over again. It's ridiculous.
Well, when you go
to write the first time,
yeah, exactly. Well, when you go to process a claim and you request medical records and things like that, why is it that, because you hear this all the time from veterans, that if they don't provide the records themselves, supposedly they don't exist?
Well, the thing is that there's certain requirements by law that we have for each record. A federal record, as the VA, we have to keep going after them until they give us a negative response. Until recently, where they're saying that they're changing the clause on that, saying that we can get one or two negative responses and then we can go forward with deciding the claim. But that's not right, because the veterans that don't have that negative reply, or like reservist records, if you can't get the reservist records, it's kind of hard to go forward with the service treatment records and stuff like that. And a lot of times when they're deployed back and forth, those records are flying back and forth. There's a delay there. We should wait for us to get those records back. But when we have something like the fire-related, or somebody that they maybe a retirement record because they haven't been active for a while, those records are going to take a little longer to get a hold of. But for us to say, oh, we're going to do our first request in 30 days, next one in 15 days, and then that's it, we're going to go forward and make the decision. Well, that's not right, because a veteran could be entitled to an exam, could be entitled to benefits. Why are we going to go forward? That's not an appropriate procedure.
Well, we hear from people all the time that they sent in. I could think of one lady right now. She sent in all of her information, and they continued to ask her for that information over and over and over over a period of years. So is it just a delay tactic? Or do they?
You see the same mail over and over, and you ask them, what's going on? Why is it being delayed? And a lot of us don't see exactly what's going on, but I know that there's things where I've seen people bring claims over to other people and say, this needs to be decided today. I've told a couple people that come to me, like the managers, no, because it's not ready. It'll hurt the veteran. And they brought it to somebody else.
Oh, and made them decide it today so they could deny it, and then...
Exactly. Just like the provisional ratings we had earlier this year.
Yeah.
Those provisional ratings were to get everybody to quiet down. They did nothing but shift inventory. All those people that didn't get their... Like, our quality went down, actually. You can check those on national numbers. Our quality went down from 90-something percent down to 80-something percent because they were decided based on the facts of the evidence of the case. And even that VBMS system we got right now, there's like 15,000 unassociated documents in some general file for the national database. That means that each one of those little documents could be a claim, could be the reason why a denial or exceptions is. We should be going after that first. Why are we trying to decide claims without getting that stuff cleared up? Because those could be evidence that we need for that claim to decide and get the right benefit the right first time. Why are we avoiding that? Because we want to shift inventory?
Yeah, and make it look,
make it look
more,
like we're doing it.
Yeah, make it look more current. All right, we're going to take a really.
Then they get bonuses, Aaron. You know that, right?
That's yeah. How they get their stuff. Oh, we're not going to leave that bonus topic out. We're coming back on bonuses. Stick with us.
I haven't got one in a while.
Okay, I could hear everybody just said good, but you know, I mean, the good guys should get the bonuses. The bad guy, anyway. You know, we got all opinions on that. We'll be right back with you here in 2 minutes. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. I guess our moniker here is Community Radio for the North State. I kind of like Free Fire Media, though. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Why did you lie to me? Can't be trusted, good for nothing type of brother. Everything you claim to be was a lie. Why did you lie to me?
Sam Stone was alone when he popped his last balloon. Climbing walls while sitting in a chair. Well, he played his last request while the room smelled just like death, with an overdose hovering in the air. But life had lost its fun, and there was nothing to be done but trade his house that he bought on the GI Bill for a flag-draped casket on a local hero's hill.
Sure words.
So, that was for one of our local veterans here, in memory of our local veteran here, who waited, outlasted him, actually.
Yep.
He decided to wheel himself in front of a train the other night. He was tired of waiting. And he was a Vietnam-era veteran with the big boils that come from exposure to Agent Orange that the VA insisted did not happen. So, anyway, there are many, many people like that. That just happened to be recent. So, oftentimes, those incidents go unconnected to...
Unreported.
Well, you know, the death is reported, but it's not connected to,
right.
You know, the cause isn't connected. So, for people
like
that...
Like the unnecessary delay in their claim, the treatment they could use.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad. It's not connected because then they don't report it appropriately.
Well, he was homeless.
Yeah, he ended up living under a bridge.
You know, living under a bridge as an amputee with big boils from Agent Orange, and the VA continued to deny his claim, saying that he didn't have exposure to Agent Orange.
And why wouldn't we just give him treatment then, and psychological treatment and help,
exactly.
And even provide him with...
Yeah,
anyway.
It just, I know, it goes on and on and on and on. And so, you know, I guess, you know, we're not doing this show to depress people. It's a little late to bring that up, I know. But we're not doing this to depress people, but I really, really, really want people to understand. Folks that have no connection with the VA or veterans or whatever, you have to realize that a lot of our homeless population are people who served. I can think of one guy. He is a Special Forces medic who made lots of jumps, lots of problems with his back and knees and that sort of thing. The VA continues to deny him. He is late 30s, early 40s, very disabled, living in a car, and refuses to get on welfare and that.
Pride. Military pride.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this isn't what people are... This is not what the general public... Let's go back to the general public. The general public looks at our military and they see a lot of flag waving. They see a lot of veterans organizations. They donate, probably, to lots of organizations. And yet we have this massive chunk of the population that has fallen through the cracks because the beginning step, the benefits claims part, is so broken.
Well, because they don't know what's going on, too. We have to advocate. We have to educate. In order for us to get this fully developed claim process out there, we have to advocate. We have to teach them, just like we teach our claims processors. Why would we not teach the veterans how to do this, too?
Yeah.
That's what's the way in the claims. If we would teach them and help them and tell them what they need, X, Y, and Z, even though they think that they are, they're not. It's not really, I mean, come on, business models, we can go down the road that...
Yeah, and I just had somebody here in the studio say, well, I let my claim drop. I had diabetes that was developed through service, and I'm like, no, go back.
Aaron, I would like to know how many veterans dropped their claims because of this. A lot of people in Social Security drop their claims first time because it's kind of like expected you're going to get denied first time. I heard an electronic thing denies you the first time automatically, and then you have to go and apply again. I swear it's kind of like that with the veterans sometimes because you should always reapply, especially if you're entitled to the benefits, but a lot of them drop their claims right off the bat. And sometimes it's not even substantiated because we don't have the evidence, just like the VUS claims with all the documents that are unassociated to the claims. Are you kidding me? Those are veterans' submissions, possibly claims, additional evidence that could be denying their claims, and now they're going to drop their claim. That evidence gets to the file. Are we going to review it? We're supposed to.
And I know that people are getting called. I know veterans are being phoned now. Another one of the little scams that's going on is to call them and tell them that their claim would be processed faster if they would just reapply.
Yeah, because then they lose their date of claim. If you reapply, you lose your date of claim unless it's continually prosecuted, which means you can't have a break in your prosecution of your claim more than 1 year.
And
if you have more than 1 year of asking about my claim or submitting some type of thing, you lose your date of claim, which means they can't pay you benefits back to the date that you first originally applied unless you claim a clear and unmistakable error, which is a cue.
But they don't tell them.
I didn't know about until I worked there.
Yeah, and the clear and unmistakable error, I can tell you just from personal experience, I've sent in some information on clear and unmistakable error on a case, and the VA just pretends like you didn't tell them that. And then one time I sent it in, and they actually created a different claim so they could rip the guy off on his back pay. They used my submission of clear and unmistakable error to say that we had actually submitted another claim.
Resubmitted the claim.
Yeah, we had started a new claim, so they only owed him a few thousand bucks just for last year.
Then what you need to do is you need to get a Freedom of Information Act. You need to request a complete copy of that file before you guys start processing the claim.
Did that.
Because once you have the evidence, they're going to have the evidence that they have on file. You reference that. And then you ask them questions about what they have on file because a clear and unmistakable error has to be exactly from the, we have to have it on hand and we have to have it exactly from the Code of Federal Regulations.
Yeah, I did that. I sent them their own evidence back on their own, from their own, statement of case and said, hey, look, in your statement of case, this does not match Social Security Department records. These two conflict. Date-wise, and at the end of the day, what really happens out in the on the other side of the line from where you were, they ignore it. It doesn't really matter. You request if you request a full file, I'll give you one example: 35-year-old case, request a full file, you get 500 pages. You find out 3 weeks later when the guy goes in for a compensation and pension exam that the case is 1,200 pages. So
my recommendation to veterans is request a complete copy of your file after your first one, and then after that you can request a subsequent request up to the first part. You can't keep getting complete copies of your file over and over because of the cost, but you can get the first one, and after that, from that point on, you can request your records back to that point over and over, and even specific information over and over.
What do you think about the refusal to give people like their medical records?
They can't refuse them. It's the Privacy Act, 1973.
Yeah, but they do.
What they do, they lose.
No, I know. I've been denied requests for administrative investigations over management stuff. They don't. The thing is, and this is sad. I say that our management is incompetent because incompetent definition is failure to have the ability or knowledge to perform the duties in which you're filling, and they don't have that.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the bonuses. We've got 5 minutes left, so I didn't want to actually gloss over that because that's a big, you know, just like everything else. When you have something that is this screwed up, you know, the first question is, okay, who's getting paid?
You know, that I don't have a specific knowledge on, but I've heard through gossip again, which I can't substantiate, that the managers got bonuses for whatever they were doing, but we weren't meeting our goals, and none of us got performance awards or bonuses, so I'm not sure why they got bonuses.
Yeah, well, and the bonuses are public because they're public. I think it was Washington Post actually posted a nationwide list of all the bonuses, and some of them are in the $60,000 to $70,000 range.
How could they do that? That's a whole other VSR position. We can have another person processing claims. And they haven't even processed one claim. Are you kidding me?
Tony, you're thinking like a normal person. That was Willie.
Oh my God.
That was Willie Clark, the regional manager that supervises Oakland and 10 other centers.
The one that I reported the hostile work environment harassment stuff like that too.
Yeah, the guy in
Phoenix?
Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, his bonus over a period of I should look it up. I'm committing a. I guess I'm journalistic malpractice right now, but it's, I don't know, a few years, two, three years, and it was like $50,000 or $60,000. Look it up.
How is that possible? When you go to LA and you look at their results, our assistant director came from LA and they didn't have very good results. How could they be doing that? San Diego, I know, is one of the DDCs, which is like a major center that processes claims, and they put through a lot of claims and they turn through them. I can see them getting bonuses and stuff. LA didn't get very many bonuses because they were in the same boat we are. We were being led astray. How is that possible?
I don't know. That's why we have you on, Tony. We thought you could unravel the entire mystery of this universe for us.
No, I'm still in Alice in Wonderland. I got removed from AWOL, and I got walked out of the building and my credentials taken. I don't understand. And I've been requesting whistleblower protection for 2 years.
Yeah, how does that work anyway? Let's hit that point. When you request whistleblower protection and you speak out against the corruption in a federal agency, how's that work out for you? Besides the fact you're fired now.
There's four different ways you can do it. First, Office of Inspector General, which I've done 3 different times. First time was in June of 2012 for that whole train thing and everything else. Abuse of authority, misuse of resources, mismanagement, all that stuff. And I requested 2 other times. The next one is Office of Special Counsel, which is supposed to be advising the Office of General Counsel and the Office of Regional Counsel, which are lawyers and judges, which I've told the management to go and consult with many times. And the third one is the congresspeople and senators, which I've contacted Senator Boxer and Senator Feinstein, as well as several other congresspeople, which you can see online. And then the fourth one is the media, and that's where I'm at now. I tried for 2 years to try to work through the internal system so that way the VA doesn't get screwed over and really have a bad public image. But I've lost my job now. I can't go back in the building. I can't help veterans anymore, and I'm 100% veteran being released for being sick per my doctor's orders, and I couldn't come in to fill out the necessary forms they wanted. I mean, come on, really?
Yeah. Well, the good part is Congressman LaMalfa's office is taking this up big time, and we're looking forward to hearing the results of Tony working with that office and getting some stuff done. So that will not go unnoticed at the congressional level anymore, which is nice.
Thank you.
There's a lot coming down.
I have never reported to Officer LaMalfa. Never.
Yeah. Well,
I've only reported other ones. So if I get any action, I will greatly appreciate it. I'll bow down.
You're going to get lots of action out of that office. People are excited about that. And because it's time. I mean, we have a large area. Every congressional office has about, I think it's the constituent base is 770,000, according to the redistricting. And in that, in the North State, we have a lot of veterans. Let's face it, with all these, you know, continuing wars and all this stuff, we have more and more people being injured. We have lots of PTSD, and our Vietnam era folks. Let's face it. I mean, the treatment of those people during that era was bad back then, and from the VA standpoint, it's bad now.
And we can't even address those issues because we're still dealing with the frivolous issues of people understanding their jobs and the laws, rules, and regulations that govern their position. If they would take care of that, we could process more claims, we could do more for the veterans, we can help them, but we can't do that. We can't do it in a timely fashion because they don't know their jobs.
Exactly. We're going to come back with Tony on the 26th of this month, so we got a short shrift with him today, but we'll be back and do some details with you on January 26th. Thanks, Tony. Looking forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you. I'll talk to you later.
See you guys next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us is the place to get more information on this.
Thanks, everybody.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.